So grab your Bibles and open up to James chapter 5. Little tiny book in the back of the Bible, very powerful little book. If you want to get serious about God's Word. And last week we started on the FBC theme. The theme for this year, United in Prayer. And I hope you've started being intense and serious about praying. I hope you realize that prayer is more than a mealtime thing. It's not something that we just do because problems arise. And it's not something we do because we're at church on Sunday or because it's bedtime. But it's something we should do and humble ourselves before a holy God at all times about everything. Prayer is the privilege we have to consistently approach a holy God, bringing our concerns as well as our celebrations, bringing our fears as well as our victories, bringing our needs as well as our blessings, coming to Him for our purchases, for our actions, for our words. You realize God tells us to pray without ceasing? No matter what you're doing, He calls us to be in contact with Him, to humble ourselves before Him. You know what the Bible doesn't say about prayer? It doesn't say close your eyes and bow your head. You don't find that in Scripture. We say this at church to respect those that would like privacy at a time of invitation. It also helps us to be focused on the Lord and not distracted. What I'm trying to say is pray while you're driving. In all things by prayer. And pray without ceasing. Words of God. Pray when you're driving. Pray when you're at line at the market right here. Pray for that cashier. Here's a hard prayer. Pray, Lord, do I really need to spend money on what I'm about to buy? Lord, turn those carrots into Cheetos on my way out the door. Or vice versa. Pray when you're about to eat at Grassroots. I know one of the waitresses there, and she's got it going on. But pray for the food. My wife works there, if you don't know. Okay, just. I'm sorry about scaring you a little bit. But pray when you're crying. But also pray when you're celebrating. Pray in all things. Pray at church, but pray before coming to church. Did you pray throughout the week, Lord? Prepare my heart. Sunday's coming. Prepare Pastor Ron's message. But also have a sweet time of private prayer where Scripture says, get in your closet. So that it's you and God, and humble yourself before Him. Also, we saw last week, we're told to call the leaders to pray with you when you have trouble and issues, so they can help you, they can encourage you, they can strengthen you. And last week, I had one more point to preach, and I didn't. I didn't want to rush through it, I thought, but I didn't feel easy about moving on. But this week, God really made a point to me on why He made me wait. It wasn't one person. It wasn't one issue. Multiple phone calls and messages that I received this week. And then God started bringing a lot of people and situations to mind, to heart and to ear. To be honest with you, they've been broken this week. And today's going to be very personal. Very intimate and very sensitive. But if you let God's word apply to you and you'll humble yourself, it'll be a very effective time for you, your family, and this church. you realize that there's many people in this church that are struggling right now? And yet I ask you, how much time did you pray for this church this week? How much time did you seriously approach the throne of grace for one another in this room today? Throughout this week. That's not to guilt you. Because we could probably all be in the same boat of really neglecting something like this. Because, see, we don't like to talk about the struggles, because when we come to church, we want to hug, we want to chat, we want to smile, we want to giggle. And then we go home and we continue to struggle alone, trying to keep our problems a secret, to hide my sins from everybody else. But you know, we have some in this church that are comfortable and complacent in their sin. Church doesn't really matter anymore. It's secondary to everything else I want to do. God's Word, I'll read it when I get a chance. Holiness does not matter. It's not important. Even when we come to church, often it's a religious activity because Mom and Dad made me, and I really don't care to be here, and I'm going to make it known. We have some in this church that have addictions, substance abuse, pornography, money. Some of this church are struggling with health issues. They're hurting. Some are hurting because they miss loved ones that they've lost. Some in here that treat their spouses like trash, and they're struggling with rebellious children. Some marriages are hurting. Some are falling apart. Some in this church have selfish, grouchy, and dishonest reputations. Some are gossips. Some are self-righteous, ready to point fingers at others. And some of you right now might be trying to figure out who has each issue. Your problem is you're failing to look inwardly, judging yourself. And there might be some in here and mad that I named stuff off, specific things, and don't want these deals to be dealt with. But we're the household of God. We should want to be holy, loving. We should want to grow spiritually. We should want to be challenged. We should want to be convicted so that God can have His way and change our lives. And today, let's do a self-examination, a self-evaluation, if you will, without looking around. Let today open your freedom to use your FBC community. Maybe in a new way, in a deeper way, in a way that we don't like to talk about. I mean, you can preach about it, we can talk about it, but don't expect it to happen. But there's a great promise when it does happen. You see, we often refuse to acknowledge our personal sin. Now, I can point to someone else's because their sin's bigger, theirs is bad. Shame on them. But I want to talk about mine. I don't want anybody to know about mine. I'm going to hide mine. Same with my hurts and my suffering and what I'm going through. And then sometimes we just don't know how to overcome our problems, our sins, our addictions. We can't understand why we continue to fall into them. How do I overcome them? How can I be healed from them? I'm going to deal with that today in one verse. In James chapter 5, look at verse 13. I want to read last week's passages, verses that's going to lead up to today's one verse. In James 5:13, it says, "Any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick amongst you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Here's today's verse. "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, I ask that your Spirit will touch each one of us. Lord, that our desire would be to grow closer to you, to give you more of us, to get rid of the pictures of the old master that we once had. Lord, I ask that today our hearts would be focused on the preaching of your word, to take out distractions, and Lord, that our, no matter what happens, that our heart would listen. Wake us up, Lord. Let this be personal, not about the person on the other side of the sanctuary, but about me. And Lord, that you would lead us to healing. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We saw that the singing of psalms, the praises that we do offer are good. When things are happy, when we see praises and we see blessings, that we should focus on God's provision and his love, singing to him. We saw when things are hard, we should pray. And last week we saw that if we pray at all times, we're already ready when the trouble comes because God strengthens us and prepares us. But then we get to the part that's hard. We want true healing. Do you really want true healing? Do you want to get rid of that sin in your life? Do you want to overcome those things that are stealing your joy? That are keeping God from using you to the max? You notice what he says if you want that? Confess your faults one to another. This is intimidating. It's scary. It's humiliating. But understand this, you with me? Understand this. Healing will never come without humility. Healing never comes without humility. And understand the word humility, just another form of the word humiliation. I must humiliate myself for healing. The first thing we see here is a simple word we call accountability. Accountability is to invite someone into your life for a deeper, more intimate pursuit of holiness. It's more than just finding someone to chat with and to talk to and have some conversations and get their opinion. It means you open up and you allow them to ask you the hard questions. To help you take inventory of your life, your actions, and your walk with Christ. You allow them to hold you to a higher standard. You imagine? This is sounding tough, isn't it? To find someone that will say, hey, you been reading God's Word this week? Or hey, does that really honor your spouse? Or hey, whoo, what's it to you? Well, you invited me to be your accountability partner. But you notice in verse 1 right there, how does he start? Confess your faults one to another. Remember, we're speaking to believers here in a church context. This is the body of believers you trust and you love. We've already seen them tell us to call for the elders. And now he's saying, confess to one another. Confess. Admit. Open up. Sometimes it's going to require us to do what David did. In Psalms 139, what did he say? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I know I use that verse a lot because we've got to be reminded it's easy to point fingers, but it's hard to self-evaluate. And it's what David had to come to. Lord, fix me. And when we pray that, God's going to point out areas in our life that do not honor him, do not reflect his character. And to be quite honest, usually you and I don't have to search too deeply, do we? To find areas where we don't honor him. In 1 John 1:8, he tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Eh, I'm good. No, I ain't got no problem. You're a liar. Don't get mad at me. God said it. We deceive ourselves. See, God doesn't allow us to make up excuses to justify our sins. He says, I want you to confess it. I want you to humble yourself. He calls us to confess our faults, our sins. That's to admit them, not just to yourself. Now, let's be honest, that's hard enough, isn't it? For me to actually say, yeah, I really did do that. That was stupid. That's hard enough. But, and it's not just enough to confess to Him. We do confess to Him for forgiveness. And that's hard, too, to specify things. Lord, I've done this. Please forgive me. But now He says, confess to one another. This is more humbling, but why? Because I need help. I need help. See, this is calling to confess. And this takes trust. It takes you finding somebody, you trust their character, and you trust their faithfulness to God. And you know what it does when you start to practice this? It brings intimacy. Because I'm going to tell you some stuff that I need to trust you with. Amy, will you give them water, please? Right there on the pew. See, God's blessings always require humility. Thank you, man. God's true blessings always require humility. I just don't have joy. I just can't be excited about worship. I just can't. Humble yourself. Confess your sins. Confess your problems. See, spiritual growth will never happen without humility. Sometimes it stinks to be reading through God's Word and say, oh, that applies to me. Ever get kicked in the teeth by God? Yeah? None of y'all, just me. Sadly, often enough, right? Spiritual healing is never separate from humility. There needs to be a confession of sins, a confession of faults, confessions of weaknesses. This does not mean a spouse bashing time. If you only knew what she did. That's not confession. That's accusation. Confession is my fault. It does not mean making excuses. It's just not a time to complain. What it does mean is, listen, I want to be cleansed. I want to be an overcomer. I want to have victory. So I need help. Confession means that I need accountability. I need encouragers. It means I want God to work in me. I want to honor Him. And when I want to honor Him, God uses His Word. He uses prayer, He uses His Holy Spirit, and He uses His people to build us up, to strengthen us. So confessing my fault one to another means I recognize I need help. It means I entrust a godly person with my weaknesses, my needs, my hurts, my sins. I give them permission to ask the deep, intimate questions regularly and in private. And I'm going to be honest with them about my thought life, about my actions, about my words, about my spiritual growth. I'm not going to lie to them, because if you're going to lie to them, there's no point to seeking an accountability partner. Understand, this accountability partner cannot be your spouse. It needs to be someone you can tell everything to, that's going to lift you up, hold you accountable, and point you back to strengthen your relationship with your spouse. It must be a godly, proven man to deal with men. But a man that won't find excuses for your sin. Ladies, you need to find a proven, godly lady that won't accept your excuses, but wants to strengthen you. And when someone is entrusted the duty, in verse 16 you see there, and they're entrusted because somebody confesses their sins to you, confesses their faults to you, what's your responsibility? Did you see it in verse 16 there? What? Pray. Pray one for another. Pray. Pray. When someone's humbled themselves seeking help, ears here, please. We are never called to condemn them. I'm never called to point fingers. They've already humbled themselves. Understand, even in Jesus Christ, in John chapter 3, we know 16, but you ever memorize verse 17? God sent not his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know why? Because the law already condemned the sin. Jesus didn't need to. The law condemns the sin. I don't need to. The law shows the guilt. What Jesus wants to do is to save, to rescue, to bring victory. Remember the Samaritan woman who was caught in adultery. And the self-righteous men all around her picking up stones to throw at her, planning to kill her for her adultery. And Jesus was the only righteous one. You with me? Jesus was the only one that had the right to pick up a stone and kill her because he was holy. And yet what did he do? He got down on his knees, and I believe he wrote in the dirt, reminding each one of them of their personal sins. And one by one, they walked away. And Jesus turns to her. Jesus, the righteous holy one, says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's my job when someone comes humble to me, is not to condemn them, but to help them go and sin no more. If Jesus, the one who's never deserved condemnation, didn't want to condemn, you and I should not want to condemn. You and I deserve condemnation ourselves. We cannot give it. Amen. When someone's in sin, we use Scripture to show their sinfulness. Not because we condemn them, but the law of God would condemn them. But when people want to continue in rebellious sin against God, and they call themselves a believer, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us what? Put them out. But when someone comes broken, wanting help, humbled, knowing they have violated a holy God, we are told to do what? We don't gossip because we don't have a desire to hurt. In a little bit, we're going to describe the difference in gossip and sharing. We don't gossip. That person is entrusted to me. Now I take him to the throne of God. We don't scold them because I'm not self-righteous, or I shouldn't be. They're already broken and humble. Let me pray for them. What we do is we pray, we take them to the Savior, and as an accountability partner, you accept a great responsibility. Pray. When we humble ourselves to confess and to pray, we are told in verse 16, look there. When we confess and we pray, then it tells us that ye may be, healed. Isn't that what we seek? Often we want to jump to this part without listening to the rest. Lord, heal my problems. Strengthen me against this sin. But I don't want to confess. He says, you're on your own. You don't want to come my way. I can't help you. So we see the healing now. If we'll be obedient and confess and we'll pray, the healing begins. It's what we desire for our loved ones. You remember the lepers of the Old Testament. In those days, it was tough for them. Those that got what was considered a disease, but at that time was considered impurity. And they were unclean They had leprosy over their body, a very contagious, nasty, stinky thing. They'd lose body parts. Many would be healed for it. They were excluded from cities, from families, from jobs. And anyone who would touch them also became impure. It's a very important thing. Anyone that would touch a leprous man also became unclean, sick, contaminated. And those men had the responsibility, if they saw someone, they had to yell, unclean, unclean. In other words, be careful, I'm contaminated. Be careful, I'm sick. But you know what their plea really was? Pray for me. Pray for me, we need help, I'm hopeless. Pray for me, I'm broken. You can imagine the humility of those men. I need your prayers. I can't see my family. I can't work for a living. I'm living off of some crumb somebody will throw on the ground. Pray for me. Help me. And there were some in those days that were self-righteous, often Pharisees. When they saw these lepers, they would condemn them and call them names and make fun of them. And they were known to throw rocks at them because they said their uncleanness was because of their own sin and they deserved punishment, so they would cast stones at them. But you remember anyone that would touch a leper also became unclean? Remember that? If you also remember, there was one that when he touched them, they became clean. His name is Jesus. He's the healer of those who would call out unclean, pray for me. He's the only healer for our sins and our hurts. And this is the one that we approach when we pray for the one that confesses. This is our responsibility. Is go to him saying, they humble themselves, Lord. Strengthen them and use me to help. Not to cast stones because they're self-righteous, but to say, Lord, that was once me broken before you needing help. And we carry them to the one that can fix their problem, the one that can bring healing. And there's a great difference between sharing and gossiping. Gossiping is speaking to people who can do nothing to help the situation. Oh, but they can pray. You know what? They don't need details. God knows details. You were called to pray for them. And often in church, we use gossip under the guise of prayer. And I want to give you details so that you know how the Lord answered. Maybe you can wait until you get to heaven to find out the answer. Maybe you can just wait and see while God works things out for his glory and not for mine. But we've got to be careful not to be the gossip because we want to pray, carry him to the throne of grace. Here's what the difference is. In sharing, we speak to the one who has the power and ability to fix the situation and clean the impurity. Amen? We want to share with the one that can bring a healing and a cleansing. You see in verse 16 how it ends? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of those that are sincere about their love for God are heard and they're answered by God. The ones that love God and desire to do the will of God, that are living in God's ways. The ones that approach God's throne with a humble heart and love for the person they're praying for. God says, I hear your prayer. And it brings great results. If we want God's blessings, we need to approach him the way he says to. Confession to one another combined with fervent prayer brings healing. And God will use your humility. He will use fervent prayer to accomplish his work. But healing cannot begin until humility takes place. Catch that? Healing will not take place until you will humble yourself. And it'll cause you to seek accountability from someone that wants to grow you in holiness.